We're learning Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed. We're up to Pasuk Zayin. We were discussing that the Plishtim had gathered their army to go to battle against Shaul and Klal Yisrael. David had been living at that time with the Plishtim. They gave him a city, Tziklag, and he had moved in with his men and with their families. And now David had gone to war with the Plishtim against, the Plishtim were gathering against Klal Yisrael. The Plishtim insisted, they refused to have David come with them to the battle. They didn't trust him. Perhaps he would turn against them, which we can assume he would have done. And therefore David was sent back. So again, the Plishtim are gathered to battle against Klal Yisrael, and David is sent back to leave the battle front. He went back to Tziklag, and this was the beginning of Perek Lamed, and he found that the city had obviously had been attacked. All the people were taken away, the women, the sons and daughters, in other words, the warriors were with David, had gone with the Plishtim. But everyone else who had remained behind in the city was taken away, and the city had been burned. And the men broke down. It said David and the men with him cried, Ad asher ein bohem koach livkos, till they had no more strength to cry. And the situation was such that the men were so embittered that their families and everyone had been captured and the city had been burnt, and they all blamed David HaMelech for it. They were ready, the Pasuk says, Ki amru ha'am l'saklo, the people were ready to stone David. And these were the men with David. And we already know Shaul was pursuing after David, and David had all those enemies, and these were the men who were his supporters. But at this moment, they felt that obviously the Shekhinah was not with David. This had been a tragic failure, and they were ready to stone David. Vayischazek David b'Hashem Elokov, and David strengthened himself. The Alamaisi had bitachon that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, and this would be the best, and they would be able to bring back, and there would be a Yeshua, their families would be saved. And that's where we begin today's shir. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer David. So again, David and his men are there. They came to the city Tziklag, which is where they had been living. The city was burned. They didn't see any dead bodies. Obviously, the people had been carried away. They had no idea when this happened. Today, yesterday, the day before. They were only gone a short time. They were gone for only 3 days. But when exactly was Tziklag attacked? And Vayomer David. David said, Olav Yosser HaKohen ben Achimelech. Tev Yosser HaKohen, the son of Achimelech, Hagishano li ho'efod. Bring to me the ephod. That was the special garment on which the Choshen was attached, on which there was the Urim V'tumim, and they could ask the Urim V'tumim with a special Siyata Dishmaya, certain letters would light up, forming certain words. Again, the Kohen had to have Ruach HaKodesh to know how to connect the letters. But the Urim V'tumim would be able to tell David what would be. So bring to me the ephod. David didn't go to the ephod. Could be he just was too exhausted. One of the Mefarshim discusses it. Could be he had no strength. In other words, bring to me the ephod. Vayagesh Ev Yosser as ephod ol David. Ev Yosser brought the ephod to David. Vayishal David b'Hashem Lamar. So now David asked b'Hashem Lamar, asked from Hashem saying, Erdof acharei hagedud hazeh. Should I pursue after this group of marauders, whoever attacked the city? Should I chase after them? Hasigenu? Will I reach them? Vayomer lo redof. In the Urim V'tumim, the answer was told him, chase after them. Ki haseg tasig. You will reach them. Ve'hatzel tatzil. And you will be able to save the people. Normally, we've touched on this earlier, the Urim V'tumim normally only responds to one question. There's certain conditions, it has the Urim V'tumim are only consulted, by the king or the Avezdin, or if it's a need for all of Klal Yisrael, and the Urim V'Tumim only will answer one question at a time, except in a case of an emergency. The Gemara in Yuma makes this point on Dafayim Gimel, that in a case of an emergency, the Urim V'Tumim will answer more than one question. Like over here, the Urim V'Tumim said clearly, chase after them, you'll reach them, you'll be able to save. Vayelech David. So David went, Hu v'sheish meos ish asher ito. He with the 600 men that were with him. And it's interesting that it seems that it could be David when he had his men together. That was the number that David used to go with, 600 men. We had even before in Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Over there, David had been by a city, Ke'ila. And it said over there in Perek Chof Gimel, David and his men got up, Kishesh Meos Ish, they were around 600 people. And again, now he has 600 men. Vayavo ad Nachal HaBasor. And they came to a brook, a Nachal, a stream of water, HaBasor, that was the name of the place. Vehanosarim Amodu. And the Pashup Shad is Vanosarim, those that remained stayed there. In other words, he came with the 600 men, and some people remained at this place, at the Nachal Basor. And we'll come back to this in a moment, but just looking at Pasuk Yud, Vayirdov David. David pursued Hu v'arba meos ish, he and his 400 men. It seems that the first stage of the trip was Vayelech David. David walked. Could be he wasn't sure, or he should chase after them. Maybe he wasn't even sure which direction, or he didn't have the exact plan. He walked, but when he got to this Nachal Basor, they left some people behind, and now they had a heated pursuit. Vayirdof David Huva Arba Meyosish, he pursued he and the 400 men. So it would seem that if he started off with 600, and he crossed the brook with 400, I assume 200 remained behind. Vayamdu Masayimish, and 200 people stayed there. And that's Pashup Shah, like as Rashi explains, that in other words, he came to Nachal Basor with 600 men, and 200 remained, and 400 left. It's a little redundant, but the Torah is, the Novi, I guess, is stressing how many men stayed behind, which was perhaps a larger a number than you would have expected. Out of 600 men, 200 stayed behind. That's a lot. But, and we'll see why that's significant. Vayamdu Masayim Ish, 200 men stayed there. Asher Pigru. Now the word Pigru has different explanations. Pigru could mean they were weak. One Pshat and Chazal is Asher Pigru. It could be related to like Pagorim Mesim. Normally Pagorim is like somebody without, you know, without any life to them, a dead person. Asher Pigru is they were totally exhausted. Me'avoras Nachal HaBasor. They couldn't cross over the brook. They couldn't go to battle. They just were no shape. So 200 men stayed behind. Asher Pigru could also just mean they refrained. Rashi brings up Pshat. They just held back. They refused to go. They weren't interested in going. And ordinarily by battle, a soldier must go. And we'll see later on, there was the response of the men that felt that those who stay behind, if not getting a punishment, they should at least suffer the consequences. But Asher Pigru, according to this Peshaz, they just stay behind. Rashi says it could be it's related the targum of the word v'nehersu, to like destroy. Or it could be these men, Asher Pigru, they broke ranks. And or they would destroy the whole unit of soldiers. They had 600 people and 200 stayed behind. And they didn't cross over the Nachal Basor. There's another explanation. There's a Gemara that we will come back to. We'll touch on the Gemara later. But to mention it now, the Amalek, we'll see in a moment, Amalek were the ones who captured the city of Tziklag, carried away the people, and burnt the city. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Kuf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, it says, Ein Zaro Shel Esav Nimsar, the descendants of Esav are only given over, El Biyad Zaro Shel Yosef. into the hands of the descendants of Yosef. And Amalek, Esav had a Pelegesh, had a concubine, and they had a child, Eliphaz, and Amalek. Vatela Eliphaz is Amalek. In other words, Eliphaz had a child, Amalek. So Amalek descends from Esav. Eliphaz was the son of Esav, and he had a child, Amalek. Amalek comes from Esav. They'll only be given over Biyad Zaro Shel Yosef into the hands of the descendants of Yosef. Shenemar V'hoya Beis Yaakov, Eishu Beis Yosef, Lehova Beis Yaakov will be a fire, and the house of Yosef will be like a flame, Uveis Esav Lakash, and the house of Esav will be straw. So the Gemara asks, over there, Esav, we're going to see in a moment, David attacked Amalek, and was successful. And he defeated Amalek, and he was able to bring back all those that were captured. So it seems to be you don't need the descendants of Yosef. David, who was from Malchus Yehuda, who was from Leah, David defeated Amalek. And the Gemara answers, "The Akrech Navi, whoever taught you Navi, lo Akrech Ksuvi, he didn't teach you Ksuvim, because you might have learned Shmuel, but you have to look in Divrei Hayomim, where the story is told over in Divrei Hayomim. Certain facts are mentioned in Shmuel, and certain facts are mentioned in Divrei Hayomim. But over there it says, Belechto el Tziklag, when David went to this city Tziklag, Noflu alav mi Menashe, people from Menashe joined David HaMelech. And then it mentions the families that joined. This is in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Yud Beis. So it says in Divrei Hayamim that David was joined by people from Menashe. Therefore the Malbim and others learn, Vayelech David. David was leaving now from Tziklag. Hu v'sheish meos isha sherita, with his 600 men. Vayavo al Nachal Abasor, and they came to Nachal Basor in Pasuk Tes. V'anosorim omodu. There were more than 600. Because we learned before, David used to have 600 men. But now he was joined by people from Menashe, and the Divrei Hayomim mentions from other tribes they joined, from Binyamin. So, those Vanosar Mamadu, there were those who remained behind in Siklag, those who joined David, let's say from Menashe, they didn't come with their families. David had traveled around and settled in Siklag, the Plishtim gave him that city, and they moved in with it with his families. Those who joined David remained behind in Siklag. Vanosarim omadu. Now, the Novi is telling you, Vayirdof David huva arba meosish. He had come there with 600 men. 400 crossed over, and 200 remained. So there's nothing that's repeated. There's no sarim. There are those that were more than the 600. The extra ones remained in Siklag, and then there were 200 who remained in Nachal Besor. Which this area is in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda's in the south of Eretz Yisrael, and this is where this incident took place. We'll see later on. They remained behind, they were too exhausted, or they weren't willing, and they didn't go to battle. But David HaMelech, obviously, confronted with the fact that they weren't going, he gave them a job, and he said they should watch the equipment. Now, I don't know how many people you need to watch the supplies. I assume you don't spend a third of the army watching the equipment. But David HaMelech told them that they should watch the Kalim, and they should wait there, don't go home, and wait around by Nachal Basaria. If they're not up to fighting, stay here and wait. And we'll see later on why that's relevant. Vayimtzu Ish Mitzri. They found an Egyptian man, Basoda, in the field. Vayikhu osu al David. So they took him and they brought him to David. Vayitnu lo lechem vayochal. They gave him bread and he ate. Vayashkuhu moyim. And they gave him to drink water. It actually doesn't say vayitnu lo mayim vayesh. The Gemara learns out in Yuma that he was afflicted with bulimus. We'll see that he was so severely hungry. We'll see in a moment, he hadn't eaten and hadn't had to drink in days. So such a person has to be careful not to drink too much. So what they did is they gave him bread. We'll see in a moment, and he ate. Vayashku moyim, but they gave him to drink water, and as they rationed, they were careful. They gave him good medical care. They watched exactly to make sure what he ate and what he drank, that he should be well. Vayinu lo felach tevela. They gave him a slice of pressed figs. Ushnei tzimukim, and two grapes, or two clusters of grapes. Vayochal and he ate. And the Gemara again mentions somebody suffering from this condition. After eating, he needs minei masika. He needs sweet things. It could be he needs a little bit of a sugar boost, or you know, the natural fruit sugar or whatever. So they gave him these, the pressed figs and the raisins. Vayochal and he ate. Vatoshav rucho elov. And then he got back to himself. His spirit came back to life. Kilo ochal lechem v'lo shosa mayim. He did not eat bread. He didn't drink water. Shlosha yamim u'shlosha leilos. It had been 3 days and 3 nights that this ish mitri was in the field with nothing to eat or drink. Vayomer lo David. David said to him, Lemiata, to whom are you? Does somebody own you? Are you part of a certain people? To whom are you? Where are you coming from? He's out there in this sodeh by himself. Where are you coming from? Vayomer, so he said. First he answered the second question, because that would be a more popular answer. Vayomer, he said, Nar Mitzri Anochi. I'm a Nar Mitzri, an Egyptian lad. And it's interesting, I think some of Forsha mentioned it, the fact that after, it took hundreds of years after Yetzias Mitzrayim until the Egyptians got back to themselves and caused Tzoros for Klal Yisrael. But this whole time when we were learning in Navi, the Mitzrim did not cause problems for Klal Yisrael. Could be they just got such a blow and they were so destroyed from all the Makkos and everything that was involved in Yetzias Mitzrayim with the drowning in Kriyas Yamsuf, they were out of commission. So Nar Mitzri Anochi was somebody who hadn't caused the Klal Yisrael problems. So he said, I'm a Nar Mitzri Anochi. And in terms of the Miata, who owns me? Who does he belong to? Evidli Isha Amaleki. I happen to be a slave to an Amaleki man. Vayazveni Adoni, and my master abandoned me. Don't think that I ran away. I didn't desert. I was a slave. But he abandoned me. Ki chalisi, because I was sick. Hayom shlosha, today is the third day. And you see the contrast between the way Klal Yisrael treated him and his master treated him. Because he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't run away. And he didn't do anything wrong to his master. He got sick. So he got sick. They discarded him. And they left him all alone. No bread, no water. They left him for 3 days. And we'll see, David HaMelech was only gone for 3 days. It's not like, now, they captured Siklag and he was sick and they just left him. Because he was sick. And Klal Yisrael took him and they gave him, they took care of him and they gave him to eat and to drink and they helped him out. Anachnu Pashatnu. And now he speaks on his own. He wasn't asked more than those questions. But he adds, Anachnu Pashatnu Negev HaKresi. We spread out to the area south of the Kresi. And as Rashi says, Kresi was a name for the Plishtim. In other words, we attacked the area south of the Plishtim. Val Asher LeYehuda, and on areas that belong to Yehuda. Val Negev Kolev, in the area south of Kolev. Kolev ben Yefuna was given the city of Hebron, which is again in the south of Eretz Yisrael. He was given the city of Hebron, and this is south of Hebron. And since he was given such a important piece of land, it was like a separate area for itself. There's Yehuda and there's Negev Kolev, even though it was actually part of the greater Yehuda. Ves Tziklag Sarafnu Va'esh, and we burned Tziklag in fire. We had mentioned previously that when the question was, David had said he was going to go fight with the Plishtim. As he was exactly, and there are those who said that he wasn't going to turn against the Plishtim. He would have abandoned them, maybe in the heat of battle, he would have left them, and he would have gone attacking Amalek. In other words, it happens to be Klal Yisrael and the Plishtim here had a mutual enemy at this point. In other words, Amalek attacked the Plishtim, and Amalek also attacked Klal Yisrael. But he was part of the group that was Tziklag Sarafnu Be'esh. They burned Tziklag in fire. Vayomer Elov, David. So David said to this Nar Mitzri, this Ish Mitzri, Hasori Deini El Hagdud Hazeh, will you take me down to that group of marauders, this group, this Gedud, this group of soldiers that you were with? Vayomer, so he said, Hishova Li Velokim. You have to swear to me the following. You know that I just told you I'm an Eved to Amalek. I have two concerns. If you're an enemy of Amalek and you're going to think of me as an Amalek, I'm afraid that that David would kill this Nar Mitzri. Hishova Li Velokim Im Tzmiseini. I'll take you to see where this Gedud is. I'll take you and I'll show you the soldiers. But swear that you won't kill me afterwards. Even though I told you I'm part of Amalek, and I told you I was part of the group that burnt Tziklag, I was a slave. I was there. I was part of them. Swear that you won't kill me. On the other hand, you know, it could be you have some type of treaty with them. And he didn't know exactly what David's deal with them was. Vim taskiveni biyad Adoni. I don't want you to turn me over and give me over in the hands of my master. Maybe they had some type of bris with Amalek, some type of treaty, the Malbim says. And now that you hear that, you might give me back to my master. Don't do that. As I want to remain with you, don't kill me and don't turn me into them. And then I'll take you down to this Gedud, this group of soldiers. Bayoridayu, doesn't say whether David actually swore, but Bayoridayu, the Nar Mitzri, took David down. And he saw they were spread out on the surface of the land. Ochlim, they were eating, v'shosim, and drinking, v'choygigim, and partying. Which is surprising. Normally after the capturing Tziklag and burning it, you would have expected they thought there might be a counterattack, or they should have been on the alert, they should have had guards and watchmen, but here they were just spread out and partying, b'chol ha'shol ha'gol, with all of the tremendous booty that they captured. Ashalokhu mi'eretz plishtim mi'eretz Yehuda. They had captured things in the land of the plishtim, and they captured from Eretz Yehuda, and now they took all of that booty, and they were partying, and they were totally unprepared. Could be they figured Tziklag belonged to the plishtim, And even though they were David and his men had settled there, but it was a city of the Plishtim, and the Plishtim were busy with war. They were going to war against Shoal. They were preoccupied. They thought they were safe. Vayakim David. So David struck them mehaneshef vad ha'erev l'mocharosam, from the neshef until the evening l'mocharosam. It's interesting, sometimes you see a chazal and you don't totally appreciate it until you see other mafarshim. But there was a Rashi that says on the Mochrosam. Rashi says, Lamudim Haim Amalekim, the Amalekim are accustomed, Lilkos Fiyom Mochr, to get Malkus on the following day. You find a word by Amalek that somehow they suffer their defeat in battle the next day. You find the word Mochr. Kamosha Nemar. It says in the Torah in B'shalach, when Moshe told Yeshua to choose men and fight against Amalek, it says over there, Mochar, then tomorrow Anochi Nitzav, I'll be standing by the mountain, and L'kach Nemar L'Mochrosam. Since you find by Amalek they are defeated the next day, so therefore here it says L'Mochrosam. So when I first saw that Rashi, I was debating whether I should say it or not say it. I don't know exactly. But then there's a whole discussion in the Mefarshim, and the Radak really is the one who makes mention of this. When exactly is Neshef? Neshef is like the twilight zone, when it's turning from day to night and night to day, Bein Hashmoshes. David struck the Meha Neshef Vad Ha'erev, L'Mochrosam. So Poshet, the meaning would be, in the Gemara and Daf Gimel Amid Beis discusses this, simply it would mean Mehaneshef, from like Bein HaShemoshes, from the evening time He battled with Amalek v'ad ha'erev till the following evening, l'machrosim, and then the morning after that. Or it was like a whole day, 24 hours, and then through the night till the next morning, like 36 hours. But the Gemara is bothered. If so, it should have said meho erev v'ad ha'erev, or mea neshev v'ad ha'erev. It changes the terms, neshev v'ad ha'erev. So an alternate explanation is, David came, and we'll see in a moment that the Plishtim had a much larger army, the Amalekim had a much larger army. And David was only coming with his 400 men. So he might have arrived in the evening time, but he waited. It wasn't an opportune time to attack. Everyone was still awake, and they'd be, even though they were partying, but they were all awake. Vayakim David mehaneshev. He waited till the morning, before daytime, when it was still night, before it was daytime. So this is the morning after the big party, when they probably all had hangovers from their oichlim and shoysim and chaygigim, from their party. So then he attacked early in the morning, v'ad ha'erev till the evening, l'machrosam, and this happened the day after David arrived. And that's the Gemara mentions that as an explanation. But then the Radak is bothered. If so, it should have just said l'mocharos. Vayakim David mi'aneshev v'ado erev l'mocharos. And this happened the day after. What's l'mocharos sum? Or is it according to the explanation that neshev meant from one evening till the next evening, and then the morning after that, mocharos sum means the morning after them. In other words, there were 2 days. There was the day he arrived and the day after. And after that second day was the morning after that. So l'mocharos sum is like a plural form, the morning after that. But according to the Gemara, that it just happened the day after he put in a day's battle, it should say l'machros. After seeing that, now I think that could be why Chazal, what Rashi's bringing down, that the word l'machrosim is written, it's an unusual word because the Navi is highlighting the fact that Amalek, you find that it's the day after that they get their blow. That in Parshas B'Shalach, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mochar, Anochi Nitzav, Arosh Hagiva, tomorrow will be the battle. And here also, L'machrosam, it writes the word unusual with an extra mem to stress the fact that this is Amalek, and Amalek gets their blow the day after. But Vayakim David Me'aneshev Ad'erev L'machrosam, it seems to have been a difficult battle and a major battle. It was at least a full day's fighting, perhaps it was a day and a half. V'lo nimlat mehem ish. Nobody escaped, kim arba meos ish nar, except for 400 men, nar, that were young, asher rochval hagmalim, they rode on the camels, vayanusu, and they escaped. Maybe close the door. Vayanusu, and they escaped. Those that escaped had two things going for them. They were young, and they rode on camels. If they were young but they were running, or if they were old and they had camels, they wouldn't be able to do it. David, it was obviously an energetic attack, which was coming from David and all those that had broken down crying and were just totally exhausted from the emotional turmoil. But the fact that the Urim V'Tumim told them that they'll succeed, also they're like re-energized, and they, Vayirdof, we learned they ran after them, and they were able to put in a full battle. If it was the day after, I guess they were able to get a little sleep. But they were able to put in the battle, and nobody escaped except for 400 men. Why 400? Chazal say, when Esav went to greet Yaakov in Parshas Vayishlach, V'arba meyos ishimo, Esav had 400 men with him, and Yaakov prepared for battle, and they prepared the present, and he davened. When he actually met Esav, it was only Esav. Esav came and he hugged and he kissed Yaakov, but there was only Esav. And Chazal say, what happened to all the men? They had slipped away. Those 400 men had slipped away. Now, Esav, in other words, Amalek, who comes from Esav, got the reward. Because those 400 men deserted Esav and left not to attack Klal Yisrael, therefore, 400 people from Amalek escaped. It always comes to mind when you see psukim like this. In other words, this it comes to mind when you have psukim like this, Chazal mentioned a reward that happened, and it was hundreds of years later. This must have been around 700 years afterwards, because Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim 210 years, and the Beis HaMikdash was 480 years built after Yetzias Mitzrayim. This was obviously before the Beis HaMikdash, but it's around, it's close to 600-700 years. And that's when Amalek got the reward. That's when Esav got his reward. Yeah. So Rav Palm, my Rebbe Rav Palm used to say, you find after Klal Yisrael suffers a blow, it's an Ace Rotzen. It's like Uchaoves Bein Yirtzen. Ki Asher Yehav Hashem Yochiach Uchaoves Bein Yirtzen. The one that Hashem loves, he rebukes, and then like a father who wants to show that he still loves his child, he gives him a patch, and he gives him a punishment, but then afterwards he wants to show his child that, you know, he still loves him. So he afterwards is an Ace Rotzen. It's the same way he said, after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, you find Bar Kokhba after the second Beis HaMikdash. A few decades later, Bar Kokhba led a revolt, and Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim initially thought he was Mashiach. Because after something like a Churban Habayis, they figure it's an Eitz Rotzen, and Mashiach will be coming now. You have a similar thing after the Spanish Inquisition and the expulsion in 1492, where Spain was, Golus Sfarad was one of the greatest centers of Torah learning. All the Sfaradim that come from Golus Sfarad, that was one of the greatest, and it was a long, it had gone for hundreds of years. And that was, they were expelled, and it was, and then they were expelled from other countries over there, Portugal, and after that, there was a feeling like the suffering and the Klal Yisrael went through, and the Yisurim and the going through the whole Inquisition, it was an Ace Rotzen. So you find in Tzfas in the 1500s, also there was like a stirring for Mashiach. That's when Rav Shlomo Alkabetz wrote the Lachadodi about, you know, Hisnari Miofrakumi and Hisoruri and Yomunus Multifrotzi. All of the stanzas of Lachadodi talk about Mashiach coming, Ali Adish Ben Partzi, Venismachov and Agila. The whole thing is like, was written in that era. And the Chachamim that were the Beis Yosef, Yosef Cairo over there, they were involved with instituting Smicha. There was a whole big tumult. They wanted to set up the Sanhedrin with Smicha in order to prepare for the coming of Mashiach. The point being, it was a few decades later. It wasn't like there was an expulsion and 10 years later. It was in the mid-1500s. In other words, it was a few decades later. We look at things and you expect an immediate result. And he used to say, in terms of Klal Yisrael had such a suffering from the Holocaust, to us it seems like a long time ago. There aren't too many survivors. Time goes on. Most of Klal Yisrael is now the next generation. But you should know, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, it's still right afterwards. There's still an Ace Rutz, and it's still a special time for Mashiach to come, because we may not have been alive at that time, but Klal Yisrael, it's shortly afterwards in the span of things. So here, those 400 people had left Esav, had not confronted Yaakov, and therefore 400 Ishnar escaped. Coming back to that Gemara we mentioned before, that Bnei Esav are only given over into the hands of Bnei Yosef, descendants of Yosef, and therefore the Gemara says that David had been joined by people from Menashe. There are a number of explanations for that. One explanation is, in order for Esav to be defeated, Esav has one mitzvah to his credit, in which he was superlative, and it's hard to equal that, the way he did Kibud Av. And the Maral, by the way, makes a point, which is, I believe it's the Maral, which is something to keep in mind as a tremendous limud zchus for Klal Yisrael. But he used to say, for a Yid, Kibud Av aim is harder than for a Goy, or for somebody who's not attuned to Ruchnias, you know, an Esav, simply because an Esav looks at it, he's got a father and he's got a mother, and they gave him this Olam Hazeh, which he's here to enjoy, and everything he has is from his parents, so he has that feeling to his parents. We know Gimel Shut from Yesh Ba'adam. You have a father and a mother, and there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, it's not three equal parts, because what the father and mother do is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know it's part of it is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the neshama, the life, is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even what the father and mother does is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the truth is, if you are aware of the fact that everything you have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's harder to have that feeling toward of appreciation to your parents, because the truth is, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, even so, we know if it came about through your parents, you have to have a tremendous HaKadosh HaTayyif for your parents, but to find that's why you find the highest level of kibud av by somebody like Esav, because his partner HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not part of his equation, and he's not thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so by him everything is the kibud av. But anyways, Esav had kibud av, and in order for Klal Yisrael to defeat Esav, you need to have somebody who also has that kibud av. And the Shvatim, whatever the cheshbonos are selling Yosef, they had a tremendous kibud av, but there's a tain on them. They wouldn't be the ones to defeat Esav. Yosef was obviously didn't do anything to damage kibud av. If anything, when his father sent him to see how your brothers are doing, lechno rei shlom achecha v'shlom hatzon, and he knew that he's going to the brothers who hated him, but his father sent him, he went anyways. So he was like moiser nefesh for kibud av. The descendants of Yosef are the ones who can defeat Esav. That's one pshat. Another explanation is, Esav was, when the brachas were given to Yaakov, one of the brachas was, Hein gevir samti vloch. I've made, Yitzchak told Esav, I made Yaakov your master. So how does it help to give you a bracha? Whatever you get is going to go to Yaakov anyways, because Masha kona eved kona rabo. Whatever a slave has goes to his master, and I gave the blessings to Yaakov, that Yaakov will be the ruler over Esav. That extra brachas that Yaakov had, he says, Vanino sati lecha shchem achar alachecha. Yaakov told Yosef, the extra brachas that I got, I'm giving on to you. So Yaakov gave the brachas to Yosef. Therefore, that bracha to be the master over Esav ended up by Yosef. So the descendants of Yosef are the ones who will rule over Esav. And a third shot, that when Klal Yisrael wants to overcome Esav, and they say to Esav, Why did you pursue Yaakov and you wanted to kill Yaakov and you caused Yaakov all the suffering over the years and over the centuries? Esav has a response. You did the same thing to your brother. What are you saying? I wanted to kill Yaakov. And you wanted to kill Yosef. Therefore, the brothers don't have... Obviously, they had all the right cheshbonos, but it's the easy response to Esav is, Yosef can say he had nothing to do with that. He didn't treat his brother like that. And if anything, he took care of the brothers who were out to kill him. Yosef was the one who took care of them. So he's the one who can turn to Esav and say, why did you treat your brother Yaakov the way you did? So the descendants of Esav will be given over to the descendants of Yosef. Pasuk Yurches. Vayatzel David, and David saved Eskol Asher Lokhu Amalek. Everything that Amalek had taken, David saved. Beshtei Noshav Hitzil David. And his two wives, David saved. Again, it repeats. It said Vayatzil David, and now it stresses Hitzil David. Or it's his wife, David, was the one who he led the men, but basically he was, at least his two wives, he was the one himself who saved them. And first he seems to have saved Eskol Asher Lokhu Amalek. Everything that Amalek took, whereas everybody else also lost their wives, and they also lost their children, and they also lost their money, and everything that Amalek took. So David, as the leader of the men, was interested, and he cared about the tzibur, and first he saved everything that Amalek took. And then his personal thing, Veshtei Noshav Hitzel David, of course he saved his two wives. Which actually is a bit of a maifis also. Because very often, we all know there's been many stories over the years You have terrorists, you have people like that, and they see they're about to be killed, and they figure they'll kill their victims. They're dying anyways, they'll kill their victims. Here the Amalek are being attacked, and they're all going to be wiped out by David, and yet not a single one of David's the family, not a single one who was captured from Tziklag was killed. V'lo nedar lahem min hakotun v'aragodol. No one was missing, not from young to old. V'ad bonim uvanos, sons and daughters of Mishalol, and everything that was captured. V'ad kol asher lakhu lahem, and everything that they had taken for themselves. Sholol is usually when the armed force captures the wealth. That's the sholol. Then they divide it up and everybody gets his portion. That's called the biza. But here, so here you have the sholol, the group that what had not been divided. V'ad kol asher lakhu lahem, and you can be assured that the soldiers pocketed whatever certain things that they personally took that didn't belong to the group. But hakol heshiv David. David returned everything. It's like David said in Tehillim, Yipo mitzircha elef, uravava miminecha, eilecha lo yigosh. The enemy was killed, thousands, tens of thousands on all sides, and David's men and the families were safe. Vayikach David es kol hatzoin v'habokar. David took all of the sheep and the cattle. Nohagu, they were led lifnei hamiknahu, in front of that cattle, in front of those animals. Seems to be a little redundant. But the Mephoshim learned there was two different types of spoils. Amalek had defeated the Plishtim also, we learned. And they had taken spoils from the Goyim. They had also burned Tziklag and taken from Klal Yisrael. So there was two groups of supplies and things that were captured. So David took his kol hatzon v'habakar, all of the tzon and the bakar that came originally from the plishtim. Noagu lifnei ha-miknahu, and he led it in front of that mikna, meaning the mikna that was taken from Klal Yisrael, that was taken from Tziklag. Vayomru, and they said, Zeh shlal David. This is the shlal, this is the booty of David, this is what David captured. Some learn Zesh Lal David is going on whatever was captured from the Plishtim now belonged to David personally. And we'll see that he gave back what came from Tziklag, and that he gave back to his men. But Zesh Lal David, anything that had come from the Goyim belonged to David. Another Mephoshim learned Zesh Lal David is actually going on everything. That the truth is everything now belonged to David HaMelech. And even though he gave back to the people of Tziklag, he gave them back what was theirs, the truth is, Zesh Lal David, it all belonged to David. Because if something's captured by the enemy, by a Gaius, by an enemy army, and there's no hope of return, and the owner has Yush, in other words, you give up. So if it's taken away and the owner gives up, and now so if somebody gets that, the original owner lost ownership. If you get something from that army, you can keep it. So the truth is, David was now entitled to everything. Vayomu, and they said, Zesh Lal David. They said it in honor of David. This was the David that they were ready a day before to stone. They were ready to kill David, because they saw that their whole family and everything was destroyed, was taken in captivity. Now, to announce the greatness of David, they proclaim, Zesh Lal David, you see what David HaMelech did? He came back, mamish, like in a day, it turned from disaster, to now they had more spoils and more wealth than they began with. Zesh Lal David, this is the booty of David. It says that when David was traveling with his sheep, and when they encountered walls, there was a barrier, they would break through the wall and go straight through as the law of a king. To show that at this point they wanted to show that David had the halacha of a king, his men. In other words, they saw again that they knew David was anointed, he was nimshach, and obviously the Shekhinah was with him, that this was almost miraculous, that nobody had been hurt or nobody was missing. By Yovo David al Masayim Hu Anoshim, David came to the 200 men, Asher Pigru, that once again were either too exhausted, they didn't have the strength, or they had just refrained. They held back. Mileches achrei David. 200 men didn't go. Now David is returning. Vayoshivum benachal habesor. And David had placed them, had told them to stay in Nachal Besor. Whereas again, David, the fact they weren't coming, David didn't just say, give them a punishment. He didn't even just dismiss them, but he sort of gave them a job. He told them to stay in Nachal Besor, and we'll see that they were watching the equipment. He gave them that job. And now David is returning. But Yetzu Likras David. So now that the battle's all over and everything's peaceful, they come out to greet David. Likras Am Asher Ito, to greet the people with him. Vayigash David Es'am. And David approached the people. But the word like es, normally it means with the people. Like you have es Elokim Yishalach Noach. Es can mean together, to with. Vayigash David Es'am. David approached with the people. In other words, he was again trying to show his unity and his achdus and his caring, even for the people who stayed behind at Nachal Besor. Vayishal lahem l'shalom, and he greeted them with shalom. In other words, he wished them well. Vayan kol ish ro. Now every bad person with a mean spirit, ubelial, and belial is a term that's used for a person, it's a very derogatory, it's a base person, a person sometimes is used for a guy who's oivet avodah zarah, belial, he doesn't have the yoke, he's just a low type of person. And these bad people spoke up. Meho anoshim asher holchu im David, from the men who had gone with David to battle. Vayomru, and now they said, Yan ashilo holchu imi, because they didn't go with me. And even though it had said Vayomru, it doesn't say imonu, it doesn't say with us. It said imi. Each one was looking at these bad people, everyone was looking at it from his own personal, not in terms of the group, but Yanashal Holchimi, he didn't go with me. They didn't go with me. I did it by myself. They stayed behind. Lo nitein lahem, we won't give them mehashola asher hitzalnu, from all the spoils that we saved. Again, he's taking the credit. We saved it, and they didn't go with me, so therefore they shouldn't get. Kim ishes ishtov es bonov, everyone can have their wife and their children. Okay, the family they can take with them. But no, none of the wealth, none of the spoils. Let them lead their family away and go. Now, it doesn't even necessarily strike us as being so wicked, but the Navi uses a very powerful term, an ish ro ubliyal. The truth is their perspective, and we'll see it's ron bliyal, because we need to have the right perspective on it. They're looking at it as they went to battle. They endangered their life. They went through the effort. These people said, could be they looked at it, it was an excuse. They said they're too exhausted, they're too tired. Maybe it was just an excuse. Maybe they were just reframing from fighting because they didn't want to. We saw there were different explanations what pigru is. But they looked at it and they said, listen, they didn't go to fight. We did all the effort. We saved all the spoils. They shouldn't get it. But Vayomer David. David said, Lo sasu chein echoi, don't do that, don't do this, my brothers. And you see the way David handled it. In other words, he didn't demand it as a melech. At this point, in other words, he addressed them as my brethren. Echoi, my brothers, don't do that. Eisa shernosan Hashem lonu. You're looking at it the wrong way. It's not that we went to battle and we won the war and they're looking to share our wealth. This whole thing is like a nace. Esa shenosan Hashem lanu, what Hashem gave us, vayishmor osonu, and He protected us, and He protected all of our things, our families that were by Amalek, vayitin esagadud haba aleinu v'yadeinu, and He gave this group of soldiers that came against us, He gave them in our hands. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle for us. So why are we more deserving than the people who stayed behind? Maybe the people who stayed behind, if anything, if they were the ones davening and they weren't thinking it's koichi v'oitzim yodi, they were the ones staying behind and they waited patiently. It wasn't like they weren't up to fight, so they stayed there. And we'll see in a moment. They watched the kalim, so they did as much as we did. They stayed back and they davened and they daven for our success, and we're the ones who fought, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who did it. So why should we get a greater share than they get? Umi Yishmalachem, who would listen to you, Ladovar Azed, to this matter? Kinkechelek hayorid ba'molchama, like the portion of the one who goes down to battle, ochechelek hayoshev ala kelim, and like the portion of the guy who stays by the kelim, yachtav yachloku, they should divide it together, everything's even. Whoever's part of the army, whether you got kitchen duty, or you're on the front lines, or you're watching the kelim, or whatever you're doing, if you're part of the war effort, everyone divides it equally. The truth is, we don't know how many soldiers the Plishtim had, the Amalek had, but we can get a bit of an idea. If they fought the whole long day, or longer than a day, this battle, and in the end, 400 of Amalek escaped. I mean, that was David's whole force. In other words, I don't know how large the army was that was routed and that was killed, but they were left with 400 men. Their refugees were as large as David's army. David was only attacking with 400 men. And it wasn't like a surprise attack and they ran away 1, 2, 3. It was a prolonged battle. So it really was like a nace that David with his few men was able to win. And it was from that day, and the simple meaning would be in onward. But if so, it should have said Vahime Hayomahu Vahola. Vamola's mashma, not only from that day onwards, but that day Vamola and even before that. Or it's from that moment in time and later in history, and that moment in time and earlier in history. That was the way it's David reenacted a policy that was in effect by Klal Yisrael from even previously. And that was what was going to be done in future years. And he made it as a choik. That's a rule whether you understand it or not. But it's a mishpat. It is understandable, because the way David explained it, that our miracle, that our wars are all due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a mishpat. For by Klal Yisrael, you don't look at it as if the soldier is doing more than the Yoshev al HaKelim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it. So once HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it, we all share it equally. Yisrael ad hayom hazeh, till today. Chazal say, the truth is you find it in the Torah, this a similar concept, by Midyan. By Midyan, Klal Yisrael went to fight against Midyan, and they were told to divide up those who went to war and those who didn't go to war. But this is not where you see that Klal Yisrael did it. This is not the limud. And we'll see why in a moment. The limud was not from Midyan, because first of all, by Midyan, the 12,000 soldiers were messengers of Klal Yisrael. They were told to give an Elef Lamata, 1,000 men from every tribe went to war. So they were representatives of the people. So they divided it with the people. Here, it's not like David's 400 men were representing everyone. Their families were captured, and they were all suffering like this, and 400 people were willing to fight, and 200 didn't. It wasn't like they were fighting for the group. It was different than Midyan. Also over there, the Torah says, V'chatzisas ha-malkoach, to divide up the wealth between the warriors and those who stayed behind. And it doesn't say that that was a chukas olam, the doyroisam, that that's the way it should always be. At that time, it was done. And lastly, over there, it was divided up into two parts. The soldiers got half. There were 12,000 soldiers. And the rest of the people, 600,000 men, got the other half. So it was almost as if the soldier was getting 60 times as much as everyone else. Here, to split it equally, is you don't see that by Midian. By Avraham Avinu, though, you have it. By Avraham Avinu, it says, Vayorek es chanichov. He armed his chanichov, his poshut, simple meaning is those that he trained, those the people that joined Avraham Avinu. Yelidei beiso, and those that were born into his house, like slaves that were born into his household. And then he had Oner Eshkol Amamre. So he should have divided up into four parts. Avraham would get part, and his chanichim, those people who joined him would get, and those that his slaves would get. So Avraham Avinu said, Bil'odoi, that anything that involves him, he doesn't want to have. In other words, what his portion he doesn't want, and his slaves' portion he doesn't want, the booty, just Rakashir Ochlo HaNa'arim, just those that joined the Na'arim, whatever they ate, they ate. V'chelek ha'anoshim asher holchu iti, and those that joined me, those the chanichim, those that joined him, and honor eshkol amamre, and those also, they will get their portion. So Avraham Avinu said clearly, anyone involved deserves a portion. Just Avraham Avinu didn't want for himself. Vayavo David el Tziklag, David came to Tziklag. Vayishalach me'asholol zikne Yehuda, and he sent from the spoils to the zakenim of Yehuda. L're'ehu, to his friends, Lamor saying, Chazal learn out, Vesiri Hashem Yechabed, in other words, you see that he was Mechabed, the Zakenim, those were the Chachomim. He sent them saying, Hinei Lachem Barucha, here's a blessing, here's a present, Mishlal Oyvei Hashem, from the booty of the enemies of Hashem. The Pasuk says, when we do the Torah and the Mitzvahs, V'achalta Shlal Oyvecha, you'll eat the spoils from your enemies. And here's an example. David HaMelech brings back the spoils from war and he sends it to Klal Yisrael. L'asher b'veisel v'l'asher b'ramos negev v'l'asher b'yatir. He sends presents to people over here and over there. V'l'asher b'arawer v'l'asher b'sif mos v'l'asher b'eshtemoa. All these cities, David HaMelech sent spoils. Obviously there was a lot of spoils that Amalek had gathered up with all their campaigns. V'lasher b'rochol, v'lasher b'orei ha'yirach me'eli, v'lasher b'orei ha'keni, all the people in these cities, David HaMelech sent presents. V'lasher b'chorma, v'lasher b'chor oshon, v'lasher b'asoch, v'lasher b'chevron, v'lachol ha'makomos asher hisalach shom David. All the places where David had traveled, hu v'anoshav, he and his men, he had been wandering from one place to another, so he sent them, could be certain places he sent them because the stuff had come from their territory, you know, as Amalek had attacked the south of Yehuda. Could be sent certain things over there where if it came from that place. Certain place he sent us Asakaras HaToiv, they took care of David and his men. David had traveled there, so he sent them the present there. And Chazal also mentioned the idea that David was again preparing himself to have a bond with Klal Yisrael. This is where now entering the very, very end of Shaul being the Melech Yisrael, and David is going to be taking over. And one way to make a friend, sometimes you know you buy a friend, you show you care about him. David has sent presents to all these people, and Emir Tzashem, they'll support David as he moves on to become the king.
For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.